Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Braden Chapman. Hello, here at the beautiful James Gallery in Pittsburgh's West End.
It's very scenic.
Ada, we figured with a work of art such as yourself, we had to place you in an area with you know, works of art that would rise to that same level.
I enjoy the competition.
Oh, thank you. I like that you see it that way.
Yes.
You will be starring in Pittsburgh Musical Theater's production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch as Hedwig.
Yes.
This is a huge undertaking. Not the first time for you, though.
No, this is my sixth production of doing Hedwig.
And I just learned when we got together here before we started filming that you auditioned for it, just like everybody else.
Yeah, I saw the audition notice and I submitted myself. I love the show. I love doing the show. I've done it before, and I know it can be very exhausting and it can take a lot out of you. So I was happy to put myself forward to submit myself and auditioned, and here I am.
Your career up until this point has been pretty incredible.
Thank
and
you.
I am so thrilled and excited for everything that's going on with you. I think most people know you as your drag persona, Mimi I'm First.
They do.
From RuPaul's Drag Race fame.
Yes.
Season 3, correct?
Season 3 and All-Stars Season 1.
That's right. How did that experience change your life, being on that program?
Well, it's kind of incredible how RuPaul's Drag Race has transformed drag, period, point blank, across the board. It has brought something that has always existed kind of as a subculture thing in this country and across the world, and now is really crossing over into mainstream. And I don't think even when we were on season 3 7 years ago that we were fully prepared or aware of how much that impact would be seen.
So, as I said, most people know you as Mimi I'm First. How close to you, Braden, is that persona? Isn't it an extension of you, or is it a character that you've completely created separately from yourself?
I think it's a little bit of both. It certainly is an extension of myself, but it is a character. And sometimes that gets me in trouble because people think that that's, you know, who you are, and it's like, no, this is a commentary on something else. This is an exaggeration of something else. And I think that's what drag does. Drag is that like mirror and that commentary, you know, kind of subversively through culture. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, drag is fascinating because you can kind of really get away with a lot of things and really tell different types of stories and tell different types of jokes and create different types of art because it breaks society's fundamental rule of is it a boy or a girl. And when you are throwing that out the window, everything else is fair game.
Now, you've done a lot of work aside from drag. You've been a stage performer for several years too. But how do you define yourself? Are you a drag performer? Are you an actor? An artist?
Well, drag pays the bills. Drag allows me to be able to do projects in theater that I love. I've developed and directed several pieces of theater, theater really is my passion. So it's kind of interesting how drag, in many ways, has been a distraction from that. I was working at the Tony Awards right before I got cast in RuPaul's Drag Race, and so I had a lot of crazy experiences with that. And drag kind of, I decided to kind of take a back seat and explore the drag career for a while, and it just blew up. And I finally feel like now I'm really starting to get back into what I really love.
I imagine that it's, you know, that platform of the RuPaul program really kind of connected you with a fan base. What are your fans like?
Well, it's very fascinating because the fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, who are incredibly enthusiastic, a lot of them are women. A lot of 14-year-olds, like kids, are watching this show. It's like kind of crazy. And I think it's really interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how the subversive counterculture history of drag connects with that more mainstream audience that's a little more traditional, a little more conservative. And I think sometimes there's some clash.
Mm.
But it's really fascinating to watch that world get acclimated with this world, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I get it. And I think it's a stroke of genius having you in this production, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And the title character of this, Hedwig, would you describe her as a drag queen or as a transsexual? How do we describe Hedwig?
Well, I describe Hedwig as the other. Hedwig is a character who is a transsexual but is not necessarily transgender. The character's sex change was a means to get out of communist Berlin at the height of the Berlin Wall. And it's never truly defined what is the character's gender identity. It's really intentionally ambiguous.
That's not what it's about.
It's part of the story, and it's very, very important. And as a non-gender, non-binary identifying person, I really connect to that. But the ambiguousness, I describe it as the ambiguousness is the mirror for our lives. It's that because Hedwig is the other, it can be kind of a commentary on search for wholeness and search for truly loving and identifying with who you are as a whole person.
That's poetic.
Well, it's a little complicated for this early in the morning.
If cocktails, we could fit it on a t-shirt, that would be good.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, Hedwig is the story in the search for love, and a character who thinks that love is found in another person, but ultimately through this incredible journey of 90 minutes on stage, discovers that the love is really has to be within themselves, and to stop pretending and stop believing, they have to be what everybody else thinks they should be.
Now, is that what resonates with you personally the most about this role?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's incredibly important. I think, you know, Hedwig is a character who has to become a lot of things in order to get freedom and to get acceptance and to get love. And those things are distractions from what really truly matters. And I think we all do that, whether or not you might not be a transsexual from East Berlin, but we all have our things in our day-to-day lives where we feel like we need to be something, whether it's our jobs, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's our friends, whether it's society, whether it's social media, whether it's whatever is telling us to be something that ultimately, I would think 75% of the time, is a distraction from who we truly are and want to be. And so the show is about shedding that. It's about rising out of that like a phoenix and becoming who you really are. And I think that's something we all identify with.
Yeah. Now this show, I've seen the musical, I've seen the film, and I can think of nothing that compares to it. There's nothing out there quite like it. What was your first, when did Hedwig and the Angry Inch first enter your consciousness? What was your first experience with this?
The first time, I remember it very clearly, the first time I heard of Hedwig, it was when they performed The Origin of Love, which is kind of the keystone song of the show, on the Rosie O'Donnell Show in 1999. Mm-hmm. And I remember being kind of recently discovering about my sexuality and my gender identity at that time and living in rural Maine, and it just like struck a chord to me for a lot of reasons, the story, the music, but it really married the three things I love most, which are theater, drag, and rock music, and it just captivated me. Later that year, I was assaulted by my bus driver, and my family found out that I was gay and kicked me out of the house. And the only thing I had in my possession were the clothes on my back, a Discman, and the original cast recording of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Wow.
So in many ways, this show saved me through those really, really dark times. The music just kind of kept me together. And I think that's why it has meant so much to me in the 20 years since then.
Absolutely. So you've performed this several times.
Yes.
At this point. Is each company that you work with and each, I guess, invention of Hedwig for you a little different, or is it always the same at its core for you?
Well, the story is always the same, but the beauty of the piece is that there's a lot of liberty you can take with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because just the context of the show, for those who don't know it, you are watching this character's concert. And they are performing in the space and in the time that the audience is watching it. So if Hedwig could be performing in this gallery, Hedwig could be performing in a laundromat. In this case, Hedwig is performing at the Gargoyle Theater.
It is a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister.
And, I mean, and you've barely sipped your martini,
I know,
but
I'm
we
sober,
understand
that's the
these
problem.
Things.
no, Hedwig is performing at the Gargaro. I can't say it now.
Have another cocktail.
Say it for me.
Gargaro Theater.
Thank you.
Gargaro
Thank
theater.
You.
Gargaro Theater. It is tough.
It is.
That'll be your warm-up exercise.
I have to say it in the show, too. I'm going to mess it up now.
You do?
Now, this is going to be the curse. The curse of this painting, The Haunted Woods. No, but Hedwig is performing in that space and time. So every time you do the show, she's commenting on the world around her, and she's presented in the world around her. So I've done productions where it's very cookie cutter and clean to the original. Mm-hmm. I've done productions that are very deconstructed and torn apart. And so it's really fun to be able to take some liberty with this and really kind of start to explore it.
And the promotional imagery is great. Now, is this you in
that
the
film? That is indeed me.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. It was shot in my living room.
Really?
Yes, the wonders you can do with some fog machine and some good lighting.
And a great living room.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So this is one of the outfits you'll be wearing in the show?
That is not an outfit I'll be wearing in the
representative.
Show.
Representative.
It is representative. We want you to actually come and see it. But the costumes are absolutely fantastic.
My gosh, yeah.
For this production. They're really wild. There's like a lot of fantasy, and there's a lot of kind of like deconstructed punk elements to them as well. It's going to be a fantastic production.
Oh yeah, here at the Gargaro Theater in Pittsburgh's West End. It's opening November 9th, coming up.
Yes.
Running through the 17th. Are you ready?
We are. We are very excited. It's rock and roll. So it's like, you know, a certain extent, you know, it's like, you got to not be ready for it. You kind of want it to punch you in the gut. And that's what this show does.
So how are you enjoying Pittsburgh? I mean, you've been here a little while for rehearsals. Had you toured Pittsburgh prior to this?
I have performed here before many, many years ago at the Blue Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where I discovered my picture is framed on the wall next to the bathroom, so I'm really moving up in the world.
As it should be. That's and I think there, that's a mark of distinction to be near the bathroom.
Yeah, we have a little shout out to Blue Moon in the show. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, I love Pittsburgh. It's a beautiful city, and I think it has such an incredible arts and theater scene. So I'm really excited to be doing the show here, and I just couldn't be any more lucky to do it.
We're thrilled you're a part of it. And looking forward to seeing Hedwig and the Angry Inch starring Braden Chapman, November 9th through 17th here at the... I'll let you do it.
Gargaro Theater. See, when I say it with the accent, that's my problem. I was doing it. Gargaro Theater. You know, come and see it, and I hope you'll check it out. You can go to PittsburghMusicals.com to get tickets. And if you want to preview the soundtrack, it is available on iTunes. I recorded a 20th anniversary recording of the show this year, so they can check that out. It's on iTunes and I think Spotify.
What could be better? Now, I've been saying Hedwig. You've been saying Hedwig.
You can do either.
You
can do either. It just really depends. And in the show, actually, the character says it both ways, depending whether or not she's referring to her name or her Hedwig. So, it's. I think Hedwig is probably a little bit more proper. But I can't even say.
Well, for the diehards, I learned something. Yeah. Oh, good. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, November 9th through 17th at the Gargaro. Come see it.
Gargaro Theater. Come and see Hedwig, yeah?
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.